The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hey, welcome to another UAB Director's Chair. He is the director of UAB Sports. He's Mark Inger. Mark, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Good morning. All good here, my friend.
I love to have you on here. And of course, if you're watching us, you're doing that on the brand new Tony Curry YouTube channel. So now you can see that beautiful face of Mark Ingram every single week right here. Or listen to it on the TKR app. It runs every Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time. And of course, you can also podcast it wherever podcasts are available. We're a major on every major industry out there. I don't care where you listen to your podcast. You will find the UAB Director's Chair or just search Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Let's get into it. We had a loss this past weekend. They lose by 49-35. Nice putting up 35 points against a Georgia Southern squad that's looked really, really good their first two ball games of the year. Your thoughts on taking away from that game?
Yeah, you score 35 points and lose a football game. That doesn't happen a lot. Mm-hmm. But Georgia Southern had a great scene. You know, hats off to them. They've got a good team. I think they're going to score a lot of points and beat a lot of people this year. Their fans were into it, man. I had never been to Statesboro. One of my favorite stories about Statesboro is I ran a coach's clinic. I was a grad assistant right out of college and was running the high school coach's clinic in Knoxville. And our featured speaker was Irk Russell, who was the head coach of Georgia Southern at the time. And I picked him up at the airport. God, he was just such a good guy and really funny. And so we introduced him. Our head coach, Philip Fulmer, introduces Irk Russell to all these high school coaches that were in attendance. And he gets up and he says, well, you know, thanks for having me. Again, my name's Irk Russell. I'm the head football coach at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern is in Statesboro, Georgia. And if you don't know, that's the Nat capital of the world. And everybody just fell out, you know. It was a great scene. And their stadium is really great. It's not huge. It's really intimate, though, and very full. And tailgate scene was great. And, hey, man, you can't turn the ball over three times and beat very many people. So no, I know that's been a point of emphasis, as they say, this week at practice.
And as a UAB fan, all we heard about all the offseason was that Trent Dilfer was going to want to sling the football around the football field. And he's indeed doing that. It is making for a very entertaining product for sure. Yeah. And an entertaining game this weekend against Louisiana, where UAB is actually a small favorite in that game. Their point 1.5. This would be a nice little victory and just getting ready for that next game. Is there a big game coming up after the next week? I know we don't look ahead.
Yeah, there's a big game, and it's on Saturday against Louisiana Lafayette.
Listen, thank you very much.
These guys are good. Trent really feels like they're really physical. He thinks that they're very athletic. I think they're probably their brand of football is a little bit more sort of traditional, two tight ends, kind of smash mouth football a little bit, but they throw it more than you think. And so I think they're a very good team. If you'll remember, that is the only team from the time we reinstated football and started playing back in 2017. From 17 through the 2020 season, that's the only team that beat us at Legion Field.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The very last game at Legion Field, we lost to Louisiana Lafayette. It was a close game. But nonetheless, that's the only loss we had at Legion Field. So we've got a little payback. I don't think anybody on our team today was on that team then. But, our fans ought to remember that. And we need everybody there to help us because I'm telling you, they're a good football team.
Perhaps a little burr under the saddle there for the UAB Blazers this weekend. Make sure you check out that game, their second home game down there at Protective. This is the UAB Director's Chair, 11 o'clock Central Time, every Monday through Friday here on the TKR app. And of course, now on our brand new YouTube channel, he is Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director. Would you take an email for us, please? info@tonycurryradio.net. Scott Gardner writes in, hey, I was given this email, told to submit questions to ADs of Mark Ingram. You've got it. Realignment. I understand that it's way too early, but would Army come in with all of their sports if they did like VCU? Army had the most traction, but were there any other names thrown out that Mark would be willing to share?
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
But I have seen, I've read the information about Army that's out there, and I'm familiar with that. And, you know, Army's interesting. It's similar to Navy. Navy is a football-only member in the American. As I understand it, that's the same plan for Army if that was somebody that we approached. That's been the discussion is, you know, should we try to do that? Is that how that would go?
So, and back that up just a little bit. How does that work? How do you, and I know Notre Dame did it during the COVID years, of course, with the ACC, despite the fact they're not an actual member there, but how does that work when you have a team come in? Can you go football only? Do you have to go all sports? How does that work and why do you do it that way?
Yeah, well, Navy does it because they compete in the Patriot League and every other sport. They feel like, you know, the academies have their own challenges in recruiting, and they're probably better suited for competition at the Patriot League level with their other teams.
Gotcha.
And they're very successful. At least Navy is very successful in the Patriot League. But they feel like they, you know, they do have a national brand, and not just in football, but especially in football, and mainly because of that Army Navy game. I mean, the Army Navy game is like the Super Bowl. You know, it is the only game on. It's the week after championship weekend. So, as I understand it, you know, that's just the talk around the concept would be that that they would still play each other in that week, and they would do so as a non-conference. So that gets really kind of interesting. If Army were in the league, we would play them as a conference member, but Navy would not play them as a conference member. They would play them as a non-conference member, but all their other teams would continue to play as they have been. Right now, Army's independent.
Yeah.
So they're not in a league. So it makes it a little bit cleaner for them in terms of dealing with it. They don't have another commissioner that they're working with. However, what they have is all these contracts with all these teams that they've had to, you know, like, so our game with Georgia Southern and Louisiana Lafayette, those are non-conference games. We did a home and home contract. You know, we're going to go there, you're going to come here, in whatever order. And if we wanted to break that contract, we'd have to pay them to get out of that contract. So now the question is, you know, if we approached Army, and if Army was interested, or they approached us, or however that went, what are their contractual obligations that they would have to either break or keep? And, you know, so then how soon could they actually start playing based on, like, we've scheduled 10 years out, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I don't have $1 million per contract to pay other, you know, future opponents to get out of those contracts. And so, you know, Army sitting there with 12 games worth of contractual obligations that they can't get out of.
Can you talk just a little bit about the pros and cons of being an independent and then being part of a conference? Obviously, there's not a lot of independents out there. We've added a couple over the last couple of years, and Notre Dame is the most notable. But what are the pros and cons to being an independent as opposed to being in a conference?
I mean, look, man, I know that everybody who is an independent will probably give you a different perspective on this. But like Notre Dame and BYU, for example, and I would say Army, they have a national brand that if they come to your stadium, people are coming out to watch that game.
Sure.
And no offense to the other schools who are not, but so a good friend of mine is Mario Mocha. We used to work together. He's the AD at New Mexico State.
Mm-hmm.
They were independent, and they just recently joined Conference USA. It has been really hard for them to schedule games. And so what happens is I'm given, as a member of the American, I'm told, hey, look, here's the window when you can schedule your non-conference, which is basically weeks 1 through 5.
Okay.
After that, we're going to block the remainder of the season for conference competition. If I'm trying to schedule a game against anybody that's not also an independent in weeks, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, they've got conference games.
Yeah.
While they may like to play me, they can't.
Gotcha.
They have a conference game. So it's really hard to schedule and get games and a variety of games. It's not impossible. And people are doing it. UConn is doing it. UMass is doing it. But it's not easy. And you find yourself trying to play each other. You know, Liberty was doing it. Liberty joined Conference USA. Why did they do that? Because it's hard to schedule. And the other thing is, you want to be able to tell recruits and your team, you have a championship that you can play for.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's Conference USA or what, you know, whatever league you're potentially joining, to be able to tell recruits, hey, we have an opportunity, we're going to start hanging banners. You know, we got the conference, you know, the American Athletic Conference banner here. BYU's going to the Big 12. They want to be able to compete for the Big 12 championship and tell recruits, when you come here, you're going to play that. We're in the Big 12 now. Yeah. We play a Big 12 schedule and we compete for a Big 12 championship. And hey, let's put some trophies in the trophy case. But if you're an independent, you can go undefeated and you still don't. There's no trophy to put in the trophy case.
Yeah, not to mention that conference payouts probably pretty alluring too.
Yeah, then there's that. There's the exposure, the television exposure. There's the yes, correct. There's the revenue share that you would get from the league. There's, to me, a lot of benefits of being in a league, a conference. But again, I would call Notre Dame and BYU and and Army in the sky, they're a little bit of an out, not more than a little bit. They are an outlier.
Yeah.
And they are able to do it.
Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. He also writes, what non-major sport are you most looking forward to watching or beginning at UAB?
Well, I guess how you define that, but I mean, we finished first place in our first men's golf tournament of the year this past weekend with our head coach, Matt Wall, and his team. And so I'm thrilled for them right out of the gate, have a first place finish. So that's exciting. I'm looking for big things out of our basketball teams, both men's and women's this year. Casey Dunn, exciting baseball coach that we have here. And if I look towards softball in the spring, AJ Daugherty is going to be entering his second year. He was the Conference USA Coach of the Year in his first year this past season. So that's exciting. We have a brand new coach in women's soccer, Lisa Mann. She started the year off 4-3, you know, so again, for a new coach in a new league, with players who are adapting to her style of play. I think that's an excellent start for her. So, we have a new coach in beach volleyball and Delaney Cleason. She's really high energy, and we've had a team that's hovered in the top 25 in beach volleyball. So we are consistently calling in the top 30 in that sport nationally. So that's exciting for those kids. Finished third in our first cross country meet under new head coach Justin Pope. So just a lot of good things happening for us. And the more you're in this, the more you kind of fall in love with all these teams. And one of my favorite sports has become tennis. Yeah. I love watching college tennis. It's not like when you watch professional tennis on television, if you're watching the U.S. Open, which was, you know, recently on. You watch one match. College tennis, you're watching multiple matches at the same time. So it's like, it's constant action. You know, it's like my son calls it, it's like the NFL red zone. You know, yeah. You're watching just people score, score, score. That's what college tennis is when you can watch it. And if you haven't seen it before, you know, you can't really appreciate it. You're like, oh, I don't love tennis. You don't have to love tennis or even know much about tennis, but to go and watch and be able to track all the matches because you're watching the scoreboard and you see, okay, we're tied on court one, but court two, we're winning court two, we're losing court three, but we're winning at 4, 5, and 6. Okay, if we can keep winning here, we're going to win the match.
Yeah.
You know, so you're just watching constant scoring on every single court. It's a ton of fun.
You're making me tired just talking about it.
I know. But anyway, my point is, the more you're in it, the more they're all really easy to like.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So if money was not an issue, Title IX, any of that stuff, and you could add any other sport, what would you add?
Curling? If I could add any
sport. Yeah, if you could add any sport. Curling, shovel sledding, cornhole, horseshoes. What are we talking
about? Bobsled.
Bobsled. What are we talking about? Seriously, what is a sport that you really love that you know, croquet? I mean, give me something.
Well, one of the fastest growing sports in the country is lacrosse.
Oh, lacrosse? I thought you were usually on pickleball. Let's talk about that. Is there a chance that pickleball will become a major college sport?
I think it is. I think there's a chance of it. I mean, right now, I don't know that anybody has it beyond club, but it has become so popular. I could see that, you know, emerging.
I don't know if young people can play pickleball.
You don't know if they can yet.
You have to be at least 45 to play pickleball, right?
Yeah, I've got a son who's just turned 18 years old, and he used to talk a lot of smack to me about pickleball and how he whipped all his friends at pickleball. And he was like, Dad, I would just kill you at pickleball. And like I played like 3 times.
Yeah.
And we played like 4 games, and I just beat him to death 4 times. And I was like, you want to go again? Like, how much smack you want to keep talking, kid? And I think there is something about, you know, maybe just be – maybe it's an older person's game. I don't know.
He was
around, and I just kept dinking and dumping it.
Have you seen this game? And I cannot remember the name of it. It ends with a Q. The game where they play it on a ping pong table, but it's rounded, and they kick a soccer ball on it. Have you seen this?
I don't know that one, man.
I saw it on ESPN. They use a soccer ball. It's a rounded table. It's like this. There's a net in the middle, and they play the same ping pong rules, but you must hit the ball hit the table with the ball. It's the most craziest thing I've ever seen.
I don't know.
You should pull it up.
Sounds like spike ball.
It's crazy. The UAB director's chair. He is the UAB athletic director, Mark Ingram. He joins us every single week. We're very grateful to have him on every single week. And of course, now on our YouTube channel, wherever you get your favorite podcast, listen to it on the TKR app. Just download TKR. It's free. Get classic rock to the bone. 14, 15 different unique shows. It's fantastic. We'll take your emails whenever we get a chance. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. And by the way, to find out everything that UAB's I have to be reminded that every sport is now in the AAC, and you just brought that up to my attention. I keep thinking college football and certainly the basketball season because I saw the non-conference schedule come out, and I saw they're playing Clemson. I'm getting super excited about that. But every sport is starting a brand new conference this year, so pretty exciting stuff. Yahoo Sports had an article that came out this morning, and the title of the article is "Next Year, the Year Fans Tune Out College Football Because of the Disaster That Is the NIL." And you and I have had lots of discussions about this, mentioning the fact that the Alabama-Texas game was the biggest game watched so far, but viewership is down quite a bit this year. So is next year the year the fans tune out college football because of the disaster that is NIL, or the wild, wild west of the transfer portal? Is that what it stands when empty stands in college football are just a minor league sport because the Big Ten shifts to Division III for philosophical reasons? I think it's very interesting because I mentioned Clemson. My son, he went to college there now, so I'm invested in that program. And of course, Dabo Sweeney's been very outspoken about not using the transfer portal because he wants to do it the old fashioned way. And I respect that. And he's just one hell of a coach. Obviously, he's won national titles. And then he comes out and he lays a big egg against a Duke squad who uses a lot of transfer portal players, and they lose 28-7. They did bounce back in their second game. I think they get FAU or FIU this weekend. But what's your thoughts on is it like JUCO players for some coaches? I mean, if something comes up and you just can't turn it down, you take it. You've seen some coaches go all in. Certainly, a guy named Primetime seems to be doing pretty well with it. What's your thoughts on how often do you use the NIL transfer portal?
Well, the first question I would have is, how do we know that NIL and transfer portal are the reason that the numbers are down?
Sure.
So if the viewer numbers are down, you can draw a lot of assumptions. It also, you know, our first week of football, it was like an oven here in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. You know, so there can be a lot of reasons why people may or may not be going to games or so far haven't. It could be that. I don't know. From a recruiting standpoint, I haven't necessarily heard Dabo say that about trying to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm not doubting that. I respect that. I'll say this. The transfer portal has really hurt high school recruiting. And as a dad who's trying to help his son through that recruiting process, that's something we've been talking about is, okay, if this university may have interest in you, you used to need to say, how many other people at my position are you bringing in? How many people are currently on the roster? And then, oh, by the way, now, do you have plans in the offseason? So I'm going to sign with you now, call it in December. But in January, you got some transfer portal guy coming in that I don't know about that's the backup at, I don't know, Oklahoma State or something. He's going to transfer in now. And so now what I thought you had or were going to have is not the same as what we talked about. And look, the coaches have got to try to win games. And so you can't blame the coaches for doing all they can to win games and get the very best talent they can get. You just can't. You can't blame them for that because fans certainly are not going to relent on whether or not they're winning or losing. You're either winning or you're losing. And fans don't really care, in my opinion, where the players come from. Fans may disagree with that. Yep. The Pollyanna version, the philosophical, oh, I'd love it to all be wrapped up in a nice little bow all the time and everybody have this harmonious, perfect experience. But not everybody does, man. Not everybody starts. You got 11 starters on offense, 11 on defense. You got backups. There's 120 people on the team.
Yeah.
You know, there's only 45 getting on the field, 50 maybe.
Hey, listen, if you're playing within the rules – and you're winning more football games, so be it. I'm all about the transfer portal. I mean,
But the portal and the fact that you can play immediately, and now these collectives, which is not NIL.
Yeah,
we're putting this under this fake umbrella of NIL. Mm-hmm. These are two separate things.
Yeah,
name, image, likeness. NIL, name, image, likeness. That is your business partnering with me to use my name, image, and likeness, and you're going to pay me as a person that's endorsing your product or business.
Well,
that's not what a collective is.
I think this article was kind of playing along the lines of that you could get more NIL if, in fact, you transfer. You get into a transfer portal and say, listen, I'll go play for your team if you give me $50,000.
What's happening, though, Tony.
Yeah.
These schools are contacting your kids and saying, get in the transfer portal. We'll pay you $50,000 if you come here.
Yeah.
We're seeing it in there. The kids are showing us their phones. They're going, hey, I got this message from coach so-and-so. Look at this. And they're showing it to our coach. And it's a direct message from some analyst, some intern, some person who third party maybe even get in the portal and X school, we or they will pay you this. And we've lost some players that way, but so have others, you know, other, and we're not alone in that. You know, we have launched a collective called Magic City Impact that we hope is helpful. We don't have money to go buying kids off of somebody else's roster. Our goal, frankly, is to try to recruit well and have enough money to retain them, so we don't lose them to somebody else's roster. That's our goal. We're not trying to go buy anybody. We're just trying to keep the ones we have. I think
go get them if you can.
We have been hurt and both benefited from the transfer portal. You know, our starting quarterback is a product of the transfer portal, Jacob Zeno. He's a great player. He's a great kid. We're thrilled to have him. So we benefited there. He left Baylor. Does that hurt Baylor? I guess yes. I mean, now maybe he wouldn't have played at Baylor. Maybe he would. Maybe he'd be there starting today. Who knows if he had stayed, what that would have yielded.
Yeah.
But we've lost players too. So, man, it's a difficult situation to try to feel like, okay, so I'm already providing you a full scholarship. I pay for all your meals. I pay for your housing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you all these clothes to wear. I've got a nutritionist. I've got trainers. I've got strength coaches. We have free tutors for you. Like, we're giving you all this stuff, but now you also need.
Yeah, it is what it is. Hey, listen, I'd be remiss to, before we get to our classic rock question, to ask you about one Aaron Rodgers. You do have quite the illustrious career in all sports and certainly in college football. Can you remember ever a situation where you lost a player of the caliber of the importance of, say, an Aaron Rodgers on your football team? And if, in fact, you did, how'd you handle it?
Yeah, you know, I was in my third year as a player, so I redshirted, so it was my redshirt sophomore year. We go out to UCLA to play the Mighty Bruins, and on the seventh play of the game, our fifth-year senior starting quarterback, Jerry Colquitt, tears his ACL. Our backup was a baseball player named Todd Helton. And Todd, who played like 100 years for the Colorado Rockies, was a great athlete and just like a gamer. But when it came to football, had some Brett Favre in him. Like, he was like, might throw it underhand or backwards or whatever. Like, he had some of that kind of moxie about him. And he didn't really look athletic, but he was. But he wasn't a polished quarterback by any means. And Jerry was. And Jerry was a traditional drop back guy who threw a beautiful ball. And that was devastating. And by fourth series of the game, in steps true freshman Peyton Manning, and then he took two series, and true freshman Brandon Stewart took a couple series, and they kind of brother-in-lawed it for the rest of the game, you know, because Todd can't use an expletive, but on the sideline, Todd came over after about his third series, you know, giving it his best. He had this big smile through his face mask, and our head coach said, what the heck are you smiling about? And he goes, hey, man, when you got a bad pitcher, you better call a good game. and that was the way he saw it, you know. So they went to the bullpen and brought in. But yeah, you know, you lose your starting quarterback. That's the most important player on the field. Everybody's important. Everybody has their level of value. But it's not just about the person that throws it and hands it off. They're reading the defense. They're making adjustments on the field. They're making like a million decisions. And they're probably almost always your best leader, you know. So in the locker room, off the field, in the classroom, at practice, all that stuff, in the weight room, they're setting the example that you need everybody else to follow.
All right, I got a classic rock question. This is UAB director's chair. He is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. And, of course, you go to uabsports.com for all the information. 11 o'clock right here, Central Time, Monday through Friday, on the TKR Up Now on our YouTube channel here. Steve in Southside wants to know, ask Mark, he knows you're a classic rock guy. Just last week, Dolly Parton released her world-famous oatmeal cream cookie recipe. Evidently, this has been a recipe that's been in her family for like, something like that. She released, but she's also releasing her brand new rock album coming out here in late October, early November. Steve wants to know, will you listen?
Come on. Listen, Dolly Parton has the number one all-time greatest Christmas song ever. Hard Candy Christmas.
Love
Undisputed.
It. Love it.
Not debatable.
I love it.
Listen, Dolly Parton, who's from Sevierville, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
is an incredible person in our country. She does so many wonderful things for children and underprivileged people. Like, you know, the common music fan has no idea probably all the great work that Dolly Parton is doing and has done. She has got this book program. She's paying for kids to go to college. I mean, she's really a special individual who has taken her success and her wealth and flipped that and given back and done things. Man, I'm a fan of Dolly's because of all kinds of things that she does around her community to make it better and to uplift people. And so absolutely, I'm going to be listening to Dolly's rock album. Are you kidding? That'll be awesome.
I heard Three Doors Down this morning, man. It about fell out of my chair. I was like, that is a great song. I love Dolly Parton. That too. Great stuff, my man. Check them out. UABsports.com. Get ready for that Louisiana Lafayette game this weekend. You got Georgia coming up. Can't wait to talk to you next week before the Georgia Bulldog game. Should be great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Go Blazers.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.